1980s and how terrible the Sandinista government was. Forget any debate, forget any sort of skepticism about the U.S. government lying. So that is a problem, and needless to say, all the more reason why people need to support KBOO for a different kind of public radio.
Well, I finally heard some good coverage of Ukraine on Democracy Now! This morning, and then Teresa's show just now. But this time, we're going to talk about the CIA and their partners in crime. And it's very interesting. The CIA, they've targeted some unknown American. As far as I know, they haven't said who it is. And I think even the memo is secret that justifies this. Is that correct?
Well, I think you're talking about the unnamed American, understood to be probably in Pakistan.
Yeah.
We're told by the New York Times in the last week is being considered for killing by the President of the United States, whether to put this U.S. citizen on a kill list. And I don't know, Per, I used to think that I was a radical. Now I think I'm a traditionalist in that if you read the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, it talks about due process. Just as if you look at the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, it talks about unreasonable search and seizure not being allowed without a specific warrant. And those of us who believe in the civil liberties enshrined in the Constitution, and particularly the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments, we haven't changed. What has shifted is the willingness of so many people, including many Democrats who want to be obedient to the Obama administration, a refusal to acknowledge that the policies now underway, including NSA surveillance, flagrantly violating the Fourth Amendment, and now this targeting on the say-so of the President of the United States to kill somebody, assassinate, or whatever other verb you want, on the say-so of the President.
Right.
And when we were in civics class, we were taught that this is a nation of laws, not individuals in power. It was supposed to be something that really distinguished our democracy from some sort of dictatorship where the head of the government can just decide, I'm just going to kill that person. And yet, this is a surrender of the Fifth Amendment that we must not accept.
Well, we've had a history of trashing the Fifth Amendment back in the McCarthy days.
Yeah.
The Fifth Amendment was this thing that the dirty pinkos used to hide their nefarious crimes from Senator McCarthy,
Yes, and I do think that due process, as has been said, must be understood as DUE process. It's not a process whatever the president chooses to do. Mm-hmm. That is not due process. And where we are now is the necessity, as always, but in this context, a focused need to organize effectively in political terms. Members of the House and Senate, one of the best on this issue has been Senator Ron Wyden, but he could be stronger. And you look at members of Congress like Earl Blumenauer and around the country, and they're just not strong enough. Sometimes there are good statements, but they're not following through. And whether we're doing electoral work or organizing to hold demonstrations or all sorts of political pressure, it's essential to have and maintain very high standards rather than going with the flow and letting the floor become the ceiling as standards continue to drop. That just is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering, apparently this story was leaked to the New York Times, and I'm wondering, why is the government telling us this?
Telling us which?
That there's this U.S. citizen living in Pakistan who's sort of undergoing the process or whatever, who's a target.
Well, yeah, there are all sorts of leaks for all sorts of reasons. And, we have the very heroic whistleblower Edward Snowden giving us information. But some of what is put out from some sources, they might be more plants. They are planted rather than leaked. And, there are some sources that are developed by reporters that give us information that we have a right to know.
Yeah, and now in your the first article that I saw that you wrote, you know, revealed, or it was no secret, but it was sort of an unspoken secret, was that the Amazon is a partner in this crime.
Well, I think it's a very important story. As you say, it's not secret, but it's not public. That sort of thing has been called a public secret.
Mm-hmm.
It's known by, I don't know, 1%, 2% of the population, that Amazon, we're talking about Amazon.com, the largest retailer, the largest online retailer in the world, that Amazon a few months ago entered into a $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency for cloud computing services. It's a division of Amazon called Amazon Web Services. And it raises all sorts of, I think, very serious questions, or should raise questions. Let's keep in mind that the CIA has a budget of close to $15 billion with the B dollars. It's even more than the NSA. That for the past dozen years, it has been not only gathering massive amounts of so-called intelligence information, but also is in charge of drone strikes in a number of countries, in charge of lethal actions in many countries. And here you have Amazon, you know, that smiley-faced logoed company that's supposed to be so friendly to people, has entered into this more than half a billion dollar deal to keep the secrets of the Central Intelligence Agency, to aggregate their data and to safeguard their data on an Amazon cloud. And what is in that data? What are those secrets? Well, you've got to figure they include targeting and assessment information for lethal drone strikes. Also contains counterinsurgency information of all sorts, about all sorts of countries, U.S. overt and covert intervention. And this is all being done with the active cooperation of Amazon as a corporation. Now, some people might say, well, you know, they're in business, and that's what companies do, and indeed they do. Companies chase the bottom line. But let's remember that in December of 2010, the news broke that Amazon kicked a client off of its Amazon Web Services, stopped hosting abruptly a nonprofit called WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amazon can't have it both ways. They can't say, well, you know, we just serve as customers. No, within 24 hours of phone calls from the office of then-Senator Joe Lieberman, Amazon kicked WikiLeaks off of their web hosting service. So there's clearly a pattern of affinities here. And why is this important? It's because when you have a corporation, which is extraordinary, in that Amazon has billions, if not trillions, of factoids about individuals, not only credit card information and where they live and so forth, but the books and films that they like, the products that they purchase, where they live, how they buy, very personal information. And do you think that the CIA might be interested in getting that information?
No, it probably may goes into the same pot, into the same cloud, perhaps. I don't know. Do we have any details of that agreement, that the contract that Amazon made? Do we know any more about it? Or?
Well, we really don't know much.
Mm-hmm.
I want to invite people for information, as well as to sign a petition that just launched this morning at rootsaction.org. To go to our website, I work with my colleagues at rootsaction.org, and just this morning, about 2 hours ago, after initial send out last night, we did a mass sending to a few hundred thousand of our members across the country just about 2 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it as we speak, and we have a thermometer on the page, and we now have 10,098 signers already.
Well, I'm one of them.
You are one of them. I saw your name on it late last night after I'd sent you the link.
Mm-hmm.
So if we, in a matter of hours, have 10,000 signers of this petition, then we have some momentum to raise hell about this. The petition is a grand total of one sentence. To Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, we urge you to make a legally binding commitment to customers that Amazon will not provide customer data to the Central Intelligence Agency. So it's very clear and very to the point. And I hope all of the KBOO listeners will go to rootsaction.org and sign this petition and share it with others. We have the capacity to raise a huge issue here that goes into basic matters of civil liberties and, frankly, the convergence on the Amazon cloud of the warfare state and the surveillance state.
Well, yes. So you can get this petition by going to rootsaction.org, or you can go to my website, give me a buzz at phantom@heavennet, and I will forward one to you. I got it on my computer. So anyway, it's this information. So Amazon, we believe, is kind of safeguarding all the CIA secrets and possibly passing, mingling their own secrets onto the CIA. What about, doesn't the CIA have a history of spying on foreign businesses and then passing that information onto our corporations?
Well, yeah, very much like, the NSA, and that's included in the revelations from the Edward Snowden release documents that, yes, it's military, it's geopolitical, and it's also economic to find, as you say, documents and secrets of non-U.S.-based corporations, and I think it goes to the nature of U.S. foreign policy. And let me quote Thomas Friedman, the columnist who, in his book, The Lexus and the Olive Tree, said, if you want to have McDonald's around the world, you have to have McDonnell Douglas. You need the fist of U.S. military to help U.S.-based corporations develop markets and customers around the world. Now, of course, Thomas Friedman thinks that's a good thing, that you'd have this huge military contracting might devoted to the kind of goals to maximize profits for U.S. multinational corporations. But those of us who have a different vision of what foreign policy ought to be have a different vision.
Well, that might be the most honest thing Thomas Friedman ever said. Well, anyway, this is Fight the Empire. My guest is Norman Solomon, who's written a couple articles about the CIA and Amazon. And now I think there's a sort of a third party in this unholy trinity, and that's Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, bought the Washington Post. So now they're part of this thing.
Yes, well, when I raised some of these issues, and we have a previous petition at rootsaction.org about the fact that the Washington Post is now covering the activities of the CIA, generally without acknowledging to its readers in those stories that the newspaper, as of 6 months ago, is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the individual who is the CEO, founder, and main stakeholder of Amazon. And these are sort of overlapping issues, because when you have someone who, as any self-respecting capitalist, I suppose, would approach it, is never satisfied, has an insatiable and some might say sort of pathological appetite to always get more and more wealth. In the case of Jeff Bezos, I'm not talking million, I'm talking billion.
Mm-hmm.
He has an estimated personal wealth of $25 billion, and it's not enough for him. And so he has gone ahead and, as an individual, purchased. He is now the sole owner of the Washington Post, and that is perhaps the most powerful media outlet covering politics in the United States. And so it just goes to the way in which consolidation of capital, if wielded with the purpose, can dominate the politics of so much of the country. And necessary for us who believe in democratic grassroots politics to push back very strongly. And that includes exposing the realities of power.
Well, this is very interesting. So let's recap this. Here we have the CIA, which is sort of in charge of the drone war, and they are in bed with one of America's largest corporations, whose owner is also the owner of the Washington Post, which is sort of the newspaper of record in our nation's capital. I mean, it's like it really is an unholy trinity there. And it's
It's sort of in the category you can't make this stuff up. And some of this mm-hmm. is, you know, traditional influence buying and corporate government overlap. But there also are uncharted areas here where, I mean, how many largest online retailers on the planet are there? There's one. It's called Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's pushed the commercial and technological envelopes to the point that it has an unprecedented amount of individual personal data of people in the United States and scores of countries around the world, if not hundreds. So there we have this confluence, and I believe that the story about WikiLeaks is very important, because if Jeff Bezos and Amazon, and I have a link in a story of mine that's on Counterpunch this morning that documents this, if, as occurred, Amazon dumped WikiLeaks off of its cloud services and server at the behest of a U.S. senator within 24 hours, are we really supposed to believe that when a client, the CIA, that pays so much money to Amazon, wants access to customer data, that Amazon hierarchy is going to say, oh no, we have a privacy notice with our mm-hmm. customers. Mm-hmm. We can't do that. Well, when you look at the privacy notice, it has loopholes big enough to fly a drone through. It is a preposterous, long, convoluted sentence with so many exceptions of privacy that if you're an Amazon customer, you just got to assume you're fair game.
Mm-hmm.
And the CIA is not known for transparency. And when you have so much money changing hands, it's logical to assume that the data that is such a treasure trove now held by Amazon is going to be fair game for the CIA.
Well, you know, getting back to the Washington Post, you know, they sort of seem like an odd paper in some ways. They had some pretty decent reporters, but they're pretty well known for having a very pro-war editorial board.
Yes, absolutely. And if you look at the op-ed page of the Washington Post,
oh, yes.
It is so far to the right. It makes the New York Times op-ed page look like a socialist outlet. It's just cheer-led one U.S. military intervention after another on both the op-ed page and the official editorials of the Washington Post. It's sort of a billboard for the so-called nationalist security establishment in Washington. And so I'm not going to say that Bezos buying the Washington Post last fall is a change in editorial direction, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
As you allude to, Per, the Post has been very much in a militaristic U.S. foreign policy direction now for decades. But it does underscore the not only the proximity, but the very large overlap between the commercial corporate enterprise, the Washington Post Company, and agencies in Washington, well, like the Central Intelligence Agency.
I wonder how the reporters for the Post feel about that arrangement.
Well, that's a very good point, because I was actually quoting in one of my earlier pieces John Hanrahan, who is a a former Washington Post reporter, and Hanrahan was saying that among the many troubling aspects of this proximity, the ties that bind the only owner of the Washington Post, who's the main stakeholder in Amazon, and then this Amazon CIA $600 million cloud computing contract, is that if you're a Washington Post reporter and you're in Africa or Asia or Latin America or Russia, the word would likely get around that you're working for a newspaper wholly owned by a guy who's getting even richer because of a contract of his Amazon company with the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Here, many reporters have tried to disabuse people in foreign countries of the idea that they're not really journalists. They might be spies for the CIA. And here's another very troubling aspect of the political economy, including of that newspaper.
Well, in the past, a lot of reporters have been spies for the CIA.
Indeed. Carl Bernstein's 1977 expose published in Rolling Stone, which you can Google and go to Carl Bernstein's website where it's all posted. He said that at that point there were 400 U.S. media reporters, journalists, who were literally paid by the CIA mm-hmm. to do its services as those journalists worked around the world. The money is not, as far as we know, thanks to the Church Committee and other efforts, money is not changing hands overtly in that way between the CIA and reporters, but we have these other sorts of ideological and structural revolving doors, you might say, and this new installation of, as we've been discussing, the financial relationships that tie Bezos and Amazon and the Post and the CIA, it's a different sort of way that the fourth estate and the fourth branch of government that the press and the U.S. government are supposed to be separate. That revolving door reflects the failure of an independent media in many
mm-hmm.
respects.
Yeah.
And that is just terrible for our democratic possibilities.
Well, you know, you mentioned the New York Times. I just read this morning that Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim is doubling his stake in the New York Times.
Yes, this is very, very bad. And mm-hmm. The Media Watch Group FAIR has documented how the New York Times coverage of this multi Mexican billionaire has been very mushy and very deferential. It's hard to bite the hand that's signing your paycheck, and mm-hmm. that includes reporters.
I think Carlos Slim, he's the guy who owns Mexico's telephone system.
I think he has tens of billions, with mm-hmm. a B, dollars
wow.
in personal wealth, and this is really a plague when you have so much concentration of economic power that translates to political and media power as well.
Of course, the only other paper in Washington, D.C. is the Mooney Times, so it's like it's...
Well, yeah, you might say Washington, D.C. has maybe 1.5 daily newspapers, and the Washington Times is, you know, what it is. And it's, you know, there's a metaphor there. We need, you know, it sort of reminds me of, and I would certainly take the Washington Post over the Washington Times, but mm-hmm. it's sort of a race to the bottom. I think it's when Jim Hightower is asked, you know, Jim, what do you think about a third party? And he said, well, I'd settle for a second party.
Right. Well, maybe we should start a paper in Washington. We'll call it the Washington Consensus.
Well, you know, we have a lot of freedom. We can pass the hat and start our own daily newspaper, and that's sort of a case in point of how the opportunity economy is mythological when so much capital has so much power.
Well, that's something I'd like to go into, sort of the future of the media, but I hear our theme music, and I want to thank you. We'll be talking with Norman Solomon, and say once again how we connect with that, with the petition you got going.
Yes, for background info and to sign the petition, please go to rootsaction.org.
Okay, there it is. This petition is right there, very easy to read. Just put your name on it, and we'll send it off. Thanks a lot for being with us, Norman.
Oh, thank you, Pierre.
Talk to you again.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, the Mighty Boo, on your Thursday morning. We're 15 minutes away from Flashpoints. Today, host Dennis Bernstein speaks to the director of the Oscar-nominated documentary How to Survive a Plague about AIDS activism as we continue our discussion about the parallels between the AIDS and Lyme epidemics. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with writer Chang Ray Lee about his new book, On Such a Full Sea. And later in the hour, to honor the great Amiri Baraka, who died in January, we'll hear a 2011 interview with Baraka from the Pacifica Archives. But first, at 10 on Air Cascadia, Ralph Hutchinson, Paul Magno, and Ellen Barfield, fellow activists with Transform Now Plowshares Support Group, bring you a firsthand report on the sentencing of fellow activists for their protest at Tennessee's Oak Ridge nuclear weapons plant. That's all part of Air Cascadia coming up next on KBOO. Thanks, KBOO members, for your wonderful support in our winter membership drive, which was successful because of you.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the 37th Annual Portland International Film Festival. This festival is the largest film event in Oregon, featuring over 100 international shorts and feature films. The films will be shown at a variety of Portland theaters from February 6th through the 22nd. More information about these films, dates, and locations can be found at kboo.fm and click on the right side of the page under Community Events.
Today is Thursday, February 20th, 2014, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. On Air Cascadia today, we have Ralph Hutchinson, Paul Magno, and Ellen Barfield, longtime activists with Plowshares. They are Plowshares 2.0, Transform Now Plowshares Support Group, and they're going to be joining us by phone to bring you a first-hand report on the sentencing of fellow activists for the protests that took place at Tennessee's Oak Ridge nuclear weapons plant. First, some headlines, though. Yesterday, Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber was the first witness at the hearing before the House Transportation and Economic Development Committee. He called the nearly $3 billion project reasonable. Again, we've been hearing the same things that we've been hearing for a very long time now. We just wonder what we can expect down the road from the governor in terms of leadership. It seems that we aren't heading in the direction the rest of the state of Oregon was interested in having us head. Before we get into the rest of the headlines, let's have a bit of weather, because we haven't been able to reach reach a point during the membership drive where we actually could kick over a few of the clouds. Not enough time, you know, because of pitching. But we're now back. We had a terrific membership drive. Always, it's great to hear from so many people out there. That's the best part of it. And it does, however, take time away from other matters. And this being Cascadia, where our feet are planted on the ground and where we do, in fact, take a stand against the megalodes, against the oil trains, against the coal, against the terminals, the LNG terminals on the coast and on our rivers, against the GMOs. This is where we do take a stand. So that's why it's important to have some notion of what's going on out there. Well, today, the National Weather Service has rain mostly early on, highs around 48, and a bit of a west wind, 8 miles per hour tonight, 50-50 as far as rain's concerned, and that concomitant patchy fog, lows around 37. And for tomorrow, there's a light chance of showers, patchy fog in the morning, starting out in places, highs around 46, not much in the way of wind. And for tomorrow night, Friday night, it looks like it'll be socked in after 10 p.m., lows around 32. The alternative forecast, last quarter, flower moon in Libra, the moon is 20 days old, synodics are not a good time for anything much in the garden, and this is when you harvest and clean up. Biodynamics says that moon in Libra, it's an air sign, so go for flowering plants if you gotta go for something at all. Sidereal moon in Virgo, dry and barren, and a good time for garden maintenance. All that said, that's your alternative as well as conventional forecasts. And now, before going further headlining, though of course there's stories out there indeed, but what is more important is many people